Well, I can say amen to that song. Felt like I've been blessed also. My life, the Lord's been good to us. Thank you for the song this morning. I'd like to look at some verses in Matthew, the 16th chapter. In the first verse, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them there and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. When Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said of them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000s and how many baskets ye took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And it's interesting, after this, he asked them the question, Whom do men say that I am? And he told Peter that flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I was thinking about the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. It's the teaching. It's the things that they were propagating, the things that they were teaching, that Jesus, that's what the word doctrine means. It's teachings. And Jesus told them to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I wanted to read us a little bit of a history. I got this from Adam Clark. It kind of gives a little background to the Pharisees. But he garnered some of his information from Josephus. It said they probably started about 144 years before the Christian era. This is the Pharisees. They had their appellation, which is the identifying name or title of Pharisee, from Peresh, which means to separate. So the word Pharisee comes from the word Peresh, which means to separate, and were probably in their rise the most holy people among the Jews, having separated themselves from the national corruption with the design to restore and practice the pure worship of the Most High. They were greatly degenerated in our Lord's time is sufficiently evident, but still we may learn from this their external purity and exactness that their principles in the beginning were holy. Our Lord testifies, and this is still Adam Clark, our Lord testifies that they had cleansed the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they were full of abomination. They still kept up the outward regulations of the institution, but they had utterly lost its spirit. And hypocrisy was the only substitute now in their power for their spirit of piety. And I also wanted to read just a little bit on the Sadducees. I found this kind of in the same area. The Sadducees had their origin and name from one Zadok, a disciple of Antigonus, president of the Sanhedrin and teacher of the law in one of the great divinity schools in Jerusalem about 264 years before Christ. So the Sadducees seem like they were in existence quite a bit or 100 years longer than the Pharisees. This Antigonus, having often in his lectures informed his scholars that they should not serve God through expectation of reward, but through love and filial reverence only. Zadok, which is a student of Antigonus, inferred from this teaching that they were neither rewards nor punishments after this life, and by consequence that there was no resurrection of the dead, nor angel, nor spirit in the invisible world, and that man is to be rewarded or punished here for the good or evil he does. And they received only the five books of Moses, which greatly limited their what they had. If they only went by the five books of Moses, they didn't recognize the prophets that God had sent. But it's interesting to note how that, to me, the antagonist was saying not to serve God for punishment, I mean for reward, but just out of love you serve the Lord. And his pupil took it a step further than what the original teacher was teaching. And then we know at Christ's time they didn't believe in the resurrection, and they tried to stump Jesus with the question about a man having his wife and died, and seven brothers had the same woman to wife, and they all finally died, and whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? And Jesus corrected their mistakes. But I was thinking this morning about how important the Word of God is to us, and to seek to follow the Scriptures the best that we know, the best that we understand. And we need the Lord's help, the Lord's guidance and blessing in our lives to be able to discern the things that God has for us. And he gave them warning, beware of the doctrine, the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees. I also want to I think about we have the word or the scriptures. And we can do one or two things. We have the scriptures, we have the word. I believe the scriptures that God has given them by inspiration, that they're profitable for teaching, and I believe it's the only way to make heaven our home is to follow the scriptures. I don't believe there's any salvation outside of what God has ordained outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is the only way that we can make heaven our home. And I know there's a verse that mentions, it says that they that are without the law will be judged without the law. Every person is different in their accountability. Some have been given much and others haven't been exposed to very much Christianity or Christian influence. And the Lord is very fair to all people. I'm thankful He knows where everybody's at and where everybody's came from. You know, I can look and assess and make a judgment, but God looks on the heart, and just recently, to bring that point out, I was studying about the woman that came to Jesus, and He went to the Pharisee's house, had bidden him for supper, and a woman came in, said she was a sinner. And the Pharisee was computing in his mind. He said, well, if Jesus were a prophet, if He were who He says He was, He would know what manner of woman this is that touches Him. See, he had a totally different mindset and judgment than Jesus did. Jesus saw her sorrow. He saw her brokenness, her contrition. He saw her emptiness. And He told her, He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And He had some things to say to Simon. But man does. We tend to look on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And I'm thankful today that God is the judge, that the Lord is the judge. We won't stand before one another at the judgment seat. We'll stand before Christ, and He'll will give an account. And I believe these are the books that will be opened. I believe this is what we're going to be judged from, the scriptures that the Lord has given. There's many warnings about the commandments of men, the doctrines of men, the teachings of men. And it's so easy to add something to or take something away. We are human. We're not infallible. I believe the Holy Spirit is infallible, but we as humans are not infallible. We can make mistakes. We can err in our understanding. And I look back in my life and I see that. I've seen times where I've veered off to the right or veered off to the left, and I've had the Lord to help me. We're human. The Holy Spirit is infallible. But we're not. We're human. And we want to recognize that, and we want to seek the Lord and allow Him to help us and to bless us. In this thought of the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the leaven is something that exalts, expands, and I believe that's a danger. The scriptures talk about leaven. It speaks of it negatively and it speaks of it positively. It speaks of it positively. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, that it spreads, it permeates. But it also causes bread to rise. It puffs up. And that has happened in the New Testament, in Paul in different places, dealing with different congregations. In places he said, you're puffed up and you haven't rather mourned, because there was things that were transpiring that shouldn't have been transpiring. But Lord, Help us to be able to rightly divide the Scriptures. We don't want to add anything to it. And I want to make this point this morning. I believe the Scriptures are fine just like they are. I can't make it better. I can't make what God has given. When God gave it, the early morning church, it was the most powerful thing that turned the world upside down. The Scriptures. Following the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, it was the most powerful thing this world has ever seen. It changed the hearts and lives of women. I can't make it better than what it is. And I don't want to make it worse than what it is. We want the Word. That's what we're going to be saved by, is the Word of God. Not my opinions, not my thoughts and my ideas, but what the Holy Spirit says through the Word and what God has given through the Word. And Jesus is the door. I'm not the door. Jesus Christ is the door. It's through Him that we go in and out. I can't put people in the church and I can't take people out. The Lord is over His body. He's over His people. And I want to be able to be in the place that God wants me. But I feel a caution in my heart and my spirit. Lord, help me, the teachings that exalt self, that exalt man, and that take away, detract from God and His Godhead. And I believe the Pharisees and the Sadducees were both guilty on those parts. I want to also mention Romans. I'd like to look at Romans, the 14th chapter. And the first verse, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye not to doubtful disputations." My margin says, "Not to judge his doubtful thoughts. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him." And my margin also says, "Conscientious differences of opinions." But in verse 4 he says, "Who art thou that judgest or condemns or looks down upon another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." Now this scriptures are here to me is showing that two different thoughts here. Some people believe that they're able to eat meat, and others are abstaining from meat. Some are observing a Sabbath day or observing a holy day. Others, all days are alike. So there's differences of thought and there's differences of ideas here at work in here. But I want us to notice what he says here. He mentions in verse 11 and 12, he said, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." In verse 15 he says, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of." And I believe it's what it's saying is don't use what God has given you to be an offense to someone else. Don't let it be a stumbling block to someone in their faith. If you know that they're having issues that they're struggling with, don't be a stumbling block to them. Be cautious, be careful. And I want to also notice in verse 17, he says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And we know from the teachings of Christ that it's not what goes into the body that defiles the body, but what comes out of the body, that out of the heart, defiles the man. We don't become defiled by the things that we may get sick in our body, but it's not going to defile us spiritually. It's not going to affect our standing with God, our spiritual, and it's the same way with the days. But I want to notice, and I have had this thought before, but it looks like the one that is denying themselves, he calls him that is weak in the faith, it says, "Another who is weak eateth herbs." God doesn't expect us to just live off herbs. He's given us meat. And the early church had that revelation, and it was difficult for them in the transition. And I appreciate the Gospels of Jesus working with his disciples, because they didn't always understand it right. They missed it so many times, what he was trying to get across to them, what he was trying to teach them. We don't have to have all the knowledge and everything perfect to have a relationship with God. That's not the basis of a good relationship, is to have, my wife sees everything just like I do and I see everything just like we do. That's the basis of our relationship. We're going to miss it if that's what we're looking for. We're going to miss it. Relationships are designed, and my wife has been a real strength to me in my life when I listen to what she's saying. I may not always agree with what she says, but when I have listened to her, it has added something to me. My life has been blessed. It has grown because I've listened to what my wife has told me at times, and many times I've needed it. But if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to learn, I believe the Lord will teach us and show us the right way and the right path to go. But we want to be able to rightly divide the scriptures and the teachings. And I think about how the Sadducees, how it just moved another notch. And when you get off, either to the left or the right, you really can't stand. There's nothing there to stand on. The commandments of men, the ideas of men, we can't stand. We can't stand on those. We can't live by those. God wants us to follow the Scriptures, the Word, to the best of our knowledge and the best of our understanding, with seeking Him and asking Him to guide and direct us and help us. But He mentions in these verses, in verse 18 of Romans 14, He says, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God." Because he sees something a little bit different and he does something different, I appreciate him putting this in there. He's acceptable to God. He's doing what he knows and understands to be right. Even after the day of Pentecost, they didn't understand everything all at once. They didn't have all the knowledge that they needed. They didn't have the understanding that they needed. It was a progression of time. When Peter, you remember, he had the dream, the vision. He was waiting for the meal to be prepared. Isn't that something, how the physical, the dream affects sometimes the... He was waiting for a meal, and then here's some beasts let down, and says, the vision says, "Arise and eat, Peter." And he says, "Not so. I've never eaten. I don't eat things that are unclean." And it said, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common or unclean." And the vision happened three times. And then there was three people, Gentiles, that showed up at the door. And that was God was leading him. God was... And then when he got to Cornelius' house, he preached the word, he preached the gospel, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. The Holy Spirit fell on them. But it was a struggle. It was a great... In the early church, it was a great struggle from going from "you don't associate with Gentiles" to "they're my brother." The Gentiles couldn't enter into, they couldn't be priests, they couldn't enter into the priesthood, they couldn't enter into, you know, the Gentiles, they had the outside part where the Gentiles could go, but they couldn't, they were limited. They had to go from that to "they're my brother." They're serving the same God. And you see the struggle in the New Testament. You see the struggle that the Lord is leading them through. And it is a struggle. It is a struggle. It's not always easy to understand the will of God. It hasn't been for me always. Maybe I don't think anyone could probably say it's always been easy. Sometimes there's a conflict that wages in our heart and mind trying to understand God's will and God's way. But you know, the Lord is faithful to be with us, to help us, to show us, and to reveal Himself. If we'll look to Him, if we'll wait on Him, if we'll seek Him, He'll show us the path. He'll show us the way that He wants Him. And I want to say also, the Lord may give us a personal conviction about something. Maybe we've got a personal weakness in a certain area, but that doesn't mean that it has to be for everybody. It doesn't mean that everybody has to fall in line for us to, "well, God showed it to me." Well, God hasn't showed it to them. Maybe they don't have the same weakness area that you do. So we have to give people room. We have to give space, not for sin and unrighteousness. And that's not what the meeting of herbs and the Sabbath day is talking about, it's not sin, but it's matters that really don't defile. There's not sin involved in it. And I think you know what I'm referring to. But Lord, help us to rightly divide the Scriptures and have a heart of love that goes beyond and reaches to those that don't see things just like that I do. I want to have a love for all. I want people to be able to feel the love of God in my life. It doesn't mean that I have to follow a sinful path that maybe they might be on, but God wants us to have. I want to look at another scripture in Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians 2. And 16, it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now my belief, my thought on the why the Lord did the clean and the unclean with the meats under the Old Testament was pointing forward to helping us recognize that there are clean things and unclean things in our world that we can allow our minds to dwell on. And God, as children of God, we want to discern thoughts that are not clean and reject them. And we want to follow the thoughts that are clean, that are good, that are upright. And I believe that Old Testament is pointing to that in the New Testament, that there's what I imbibe, what I take in to my heart and my spirit, we want it to be clean. My spiritual food, the ideas and the thoughts. In verse 18 he says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." This not holding the head, to me, is not being connected to Christ. We have to be connected to Christ. We have to be born again. We have to have His Spirit to have Him to guide us and to direct us. If we're not holding, if we're not connected to the head, which is Christ, we're definitely going to veer. He said, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men?" There's no power in the commandments and the doctrines of men. There's no power in the thoughts of men. The power is in the Word of God. In verse 23, he says, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." And my margin here says, not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. There's a lot of ideas, there's a lot of thoughts to try to... The Lord help us today. The earth is filled with all kinds of... all different kinds of ideas and thoughts. Lord, have mercy upon us and help us. But we need to ask ourselves, as we go along in our Christian journey, is this what the Bible is teaching? Is this really what the Word of God is saying and telling me to do? I believe it's important to ask these questions. Is this God's Word? Or is this man's idea? I can stand on God's Word. And I can go to God confidently if I'm standing on His Word. But if I'm standing on the ideas and the philosophies of man, even though they look like it's denying the flesh, and many, many teachings do, it looks like it's denying the flesh, but it's not really, it will not really accomplish, when it's from man, it will not produce the righteousness of God. It's only from God when it produces, only God can produce the righteousness of God. I think about that song we sang, said, no righteousness of ours will avail, but through the Lamb of God. I don't think that's the one. It was, let me see here, 51. He says, dressed when He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone. Dressed in His righteousness alone. Faultless to stand before the throne. I think we all agree this morning that our righteousness is not going to take us through. It's going to be the righteousness of God living in us. But we need to ask ourselves, is this, when we consider the different teachings and we come across different philosophies and ideas, is this really what the Word of God is expressing? And we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus says, beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Watch the teachings. Beware. Take heed. Take heed and beware is what He told them. I feel very challenged in my life to do that. Take heed. I don't want to assume that I've got it all right. I don't want to presuppose and just think that I've got it. I want to walk humbly with God and seek His face and have a dependency upon Him. Lord, show me, reveal to me the path that You want me to take. And I believe if we do, the Lord will, like He did the early church, the Lord will reveal to us, He'll show us and He'll help us if we're willing for that to happen, if we allow the Lord to lead us. And that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit's leadership. We need the Spirit of God to move upon our hearts, to move in us, to speak through us, to work through us. I appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to Him.